Okay, the reading is from Hebrews 11, and it's 1 to 3, and then 8 and 9. So, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Then verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Today we're going to begin a new series, as Matt has already indicated, called Faith in Action. And I was kind of, well, it's a long story, but initially I was going to do the Beatitudes. I felt led to do the Beatitudes. But then as I started looking at that, I felt God prompting me to look at the subject of faith. And as we just finished this series in Philippians, I felt it'd be good to look at something in the Old Testament. And I was reading through Hebrews 11, and I just felt God saying, look at these characters in the Old Testament. Look at the lives of people like Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, and Elijah. These Old Testament characters, these figures that didn't just believe in God, they acted on that belief. They acted on that belief often at great cost to themselves. Each faced overwhelming challenges, yet their faith pushed them to step into the unknown. Abraham obeyed without knowing where he was going. Moses led despite fear and feeling totally unqualified. Rahab risked everything to stand with God's people. David trusted through danger and failure. And Elijah stood firm in a culture that had abandoned truth completely. This series is about real faith. Faith that obeys. Faith that endures. Faith that takes action even when the outcome is uncertain. As we're going to discover, faith isn't just a one-time decision or a feeling. It's a way of life, a lifelong journey with God, a growing trust in God that shows up in bold steps, costly choices, and courageous acts. We shall see that true faith shines brightest, actually, when life is at its hardest. True faith is tested not in comfort but in crisis, where its true strength is brought to the light. It's in seasons of difficulty and doubt that faith is refined and its foundation revealed. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at two parts in Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis chapter 12, and then later on in chapter 22. But at the moment, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then over in Genesis 22, we read this. Genesis 22, and I shall read verses 1 to 9. Very familiar story, I'm sure. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which the Lord had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn now to your word, we pray, Lord, that you will speak clearly through it to each one of us. Lord, you will take the preparation that I've done and you will just apply it to each and every heart here this morning. I pray that everyone gathered here won't hear my voice this morning, but will hear your voice, Lord, speaking to each individual heart. Lord, we pray you will bless this time when we sit at your feet. In your name, Lord. Amen. So to kick off the series, we're going to be looking at Abraham, if you hadn't guessed that. Abraham is known as the father of faith. Now, why is that? Abraham is known as the father of faith, not because he had perfect faith, but because he acted on God's word, obeyed God, even when it cost him dearly. Abraham's life is a great example to us all of what it looks like to trust and follow God, even when the future is totally unclear and uncertain to us. Abraham is a model of faith for believers throughout history, demonstrating what it means to believe and to act on God's promises, teaching us what it means to obey his commands and trust in his timing, even when things seem totally impossible. We're going to focus this morning on two key moments in Abraham's life, and how these moments teach us what real active faith looks like. We're going to see this morning that faith begins with obedience. Secondly, that faith grows through testing. And thirdly, that faith points to an eternal reward. Firstly then, faith begins with obedience. That passage in Genesis 12. Verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot, that's Abraham's nephew, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God calls Abraham to leave everything that was familiar to him, absolutely everything, his land, his family, his home, to leave it all for a destination that God doesn't even reveal to him right away. And what does Abraham do? He goes. God didn't hand Abraham a map. He didn't say, here's the destination you're going to go to. Here's the timeline. Here's the step-by-step itinerary, all printed out for you, including the stopping areas and all the congestion problems on the route. He simply said, go. Go to the land I will show you. In other words, start walking, Abraham, and I'll show you the way you're to go. This is what makes Abraham's faith so remarkable. He obeyed without knowing all the details. He left behind everything familiar, his country, his community, his comfort zone, trusting that God would fill in the blanks as he moved forward. Have you ever driven through thick fog at night? Now, years ago, and it was many years ago, Ruth and I had gone down to Pevensey to visit her parents for the day. And we'd had a lovely day, but then, as we were about to leave, this horrendous fog descended. And we needed to cross, if you're not familiar with the area, we needed to cross the Pevensey Flats. And it was pea soup. You couldn't see anything. We couldn't see really past the edge of the bonnet in front of us. And every instinct in me wanted to turn round and go back. But I couldn't because work was the next day. I put on the high beam, but that didn't help. That just bounced off the fog back at me. And it made things worse. So I switched to low beams. And even then, I could only see a few feet in front. When you're in a situation like that, it's slow, it's tense, it feels uncertain. But here's the thing, even though I couldn't see the destination, my destination, or even the whole road even, I kept on driving. Why? Because I was trusting the road was still there. The road wasn't going to disappear. It might twist and turn, but it was going to be there all the time. You trust that if you keep going, step by step, mile by mile, you will reach your destination. The path ahead of you will unfold in front of you, and you will reach your destination. That's how it was for Abraham. As I say, God didn't hand him a map or give him a vision of the final destination. There were no details about what he'd face on the road, how long it would take, or even what the land was going to look like when he got there. It was all a bit of a fog to Abraham, a blur. God simply said, "Go to the land, I will show you." And Abraham obeyed. That's faith, moving forward, step by step, when all you can see is a little light in front of you, just enough for the next step. Psalm 119:105 declares, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word, the Bible, that we looked at last week with Bob Benson. God's word is like headlights in the fog. God speaks to us through his word, the Bible, every time we read it. He doesn't always show us the destination, but his word gives us just enough light to see the way ahead. Just enough light to take that next step. And that's how he often leads us, through trust, not transparency. Through confidence, not full clarity. A bit like us in Whitstable Community Church, when we've been thinking about leadership and the future of the church. When we went through our month of prayer and fasting back in January, What became clear from that time for us as a church, that we take one step at a time. We don't rush this. God will show us where we are to go. Like Abraham, we're not always given a full itinerary from God. Sometimes all we get is a call, go, and a promise that he'll be with us. Our job isn't to figure it all out. It's our job to take that next faithful step. Whether it's a big life decision, a new direction, or just getting through a hard, difficult season. The question is for us this morning, will you trust him in the fog? Will you let his word be your lamp, even if it only lights up that one next step? Where in your life is God asking you to take a step before he makes all things clear? Maybe you're standing at a crossroads right now and it feels risky to move without a full plan. Maybe it's a career decision. You're sensing that God is calling you out of your job that feels secure to you, but he's not telling you what exactly you're to do next. You're wrestling with uncertainty. Wonder if it's a wise decision, if it's safe, it's responsible. But God may be saying to you, trust me. Trust me, I'll show you the next step. Once you take the first, trust me. Or maybe it's a relationship. Perhaps God is leading you to pursue reconciliation with someone or to walk away from a relationship that's pulling you away from him. It's uncomfortable, it's unclear, but his choice is nudging you and faith listens and responds. Perhaps it's a calling, you feel drawn to a new ministry, a new area of serving. You may feel totally unqualified, inadequate, inexperienced. You may not even be clear as to the why. But when God says go, he's not asking for your CV, he's asking for your obedience. Maybe it's simply a shift, a change in direction, something subtle that others might not even notice. But you know it in your spirit. You know in your spirit that God is stirring you. God is stirring your heart for something else, something new. You can't explain it. You can't explain it yet, but you know God. You know God is leading you. You know you're not supposed to stay where you are. Faith doesn't wait for clarity to be complete. It doesn't demand every I to be dotted and every T to be crossed. Faith moves at the sound of God's voice, trusting that he will reveal what's next in his time. Not ours. The truth is, if you wait until everything makes sense before you follow God, you'll never move. Because faith isn't about seeing the whole picture. It's about the one who does. Verse 4 simply says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Few words, but such a huge step. That's Abraham's step of obedience. That's where faith begins. With obedience. So secondly, faith grows through testing. Please turn over in your Bibles to Genesis 22. We're now jumping forward some 30 or 40 years in Abraham's life. Abraham was 75 years old when God told him to leave Haran. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him in Genesis 21. And then in Genesis 22, Isaac is referred to as a boy or a young man, which many scholars believe means Isaac was a teenager. Abraham, in Genesis 22, has followed God for decades. He's walked with God, sometimes obedient, sometimes uncertain, at other times He's been impatient. He's seen God deliver him from Egypt, promise him descendants as numerous as the stars, and miraculously given him a son in his old age. And through it all, God was refining him. Every step, every delay, every mistake, God was shaping his life. And then came the ultimate test there. Genesis 22, verse 2. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This wasn't just about obedience. It was about transformation. This wasn't just about following instructions. It was about God shaping Abraham into who he wanted him to be. Through this trial, Abraham would learn what kind of faith reflects the character of God. Abraham's faith is about to be stretched beyond all comprehension. You see, this was no ordinary test. It touched the very deepest part of Abraham's heart, his love for Isaac. The child of promise, the symbol of everything that God had spoken over his life. Let's be clear, God wasn't testing Abraham to break him, but to reveal what truly held first place in his heart. This test wasn't meant to harm Abraham, but to uncover where his ultimate trust lay. Was his faith rooted in the promise itself, or in the God who had made the promise? Was his faith tied to the blessing of Isaac he'd received, or to the one who gave the blessing? Could he still say yes to God when the command put at risk everything he had waited his whole life for? So what about us, you and I, this morning? Can we still say yes to God when his leading puts at risk something we've prayed for, worked towards, or waited on for years and years? Will we keep walking in obedience when it feels like God is asking us to lay down the very thing he once promised? Can we trust him enough to surrender what's most precious to us, even when it feels like he's asking for it back? Are we willing to obey even when his direction doesn't make sense and seems to conflict with everything we thought he was doing? These are the moments when our faith is tested in the refiner's fire, when what we value most is placed on the altar. The testing of our faith is like a refining fire. When faith is tested, the surface fades and the foundation of that faith is exposed. You know, when silver is refined, the refiner never leaves it alone in the flames. He stays close. He watches it. The fire is hot, yes, but it's a controlled heat. It's not meant to destroy the silver, but to purify it. The refiner watches it, that silver, until he can see his reflection in the ladle. And that's when he knows it's ready. Malachi 3:3 says, "He, that is God, will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord." You know, God is the master refiner. He's the master purifier of silver. He doesn't guess or experiment. He knows. He sits and he waits. He's not in a hurry. He knows exactly how much heat to apply, How long to keep us in the fire? He knows the breaking point and the building point. And most of all, he never walks away from the furnace. He's with us in the furnace, watching every moment of the process. God's goal in testing us isn't to just get us through it. It's to make us more like Jesus, look like Jesus, to reflect our Saviour. God refines us through testing, not because it's cruel, but because he's committed to shaping us into the image of his Son. The trials we face, the pressure we feel, the heat of life circumstances, they're not meaningless. They're doing something eternal in us. As 2 Corinthians 3:18 reminds us, we all are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This isn't an instant change, but a continual Spirit-led process. Day by day, through every trial, through every act of obedience and moment of surrender, God is shaping us, refining us to reflect more of who he is. It's slow at times. It's very often painful, but it's purposeful. We're not just being improved, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We are becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. So when you feel the heat of testing, remember, it's not punishment, it's preparation. I'll say that again. When you feel the heat of testing, remember, it's not punishment, it's preparation. And when God begins to see his reflection in you, your patience, your peace, your trust, that's when the refining is doing its deepest work. Faith begins with a step of obedience. Faith grows through testing. Thirdly and finally, faith points to an eternal reward. Abraham's journey was marked by long seasons of waiting, moments of deep testing and powerful revelations. But it was never ultimately about land, descendants, or earthly blessings. Abraham's story pointed to something far, far greater. In Genesis 22, verse 18, God declares, "Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." A promise ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the true seed of Abraham. Yet even beyond that, Abraham's life looked ahead to an eternal inheritance, not just a physical homeland, but a heavenly city, a place prepared for those who walk by faith. His faith wasn't just about receiving a promise. It was about trusting the promiser and living for a kingdom not yet seen, but fully assured. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, that great chapter on faith that Ruth read to us this morning, that this whole series is based upon. We read this: "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." And then this next bit: "For he was looking forward." What was he looking forward to? He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham never saw the full fulfillment of God's promise in his lifetime. Yet his faith was forward-looking, anchored not in what was immediate. His faith was anchored in what was eternal. He wasn't just seeking temporary blessings, but an inheritance that could never be taken away. As it was for Abraham, so it is for us. Faith is not a one-time event or decision. It's a lifelong pilgrimage with God. Faith doesn't end when you ask Jesus to be your Savior and follow him. That's the beginning. That's the go. That's the leaving. That's the stepping out. It doesn't end when you're baptized. It doesn't end even after decades of faithful following God. It continues step by step, day by day, drawing us ever closer to the fulfillment of God's eternal plan, his ultimate purpose for each one of us. Eternal life with him forever through Jesus Christ. A restored, unbroken relationship with God that begins now and continues forever. So what does that mean for us today? As I said 2 weeks ago when I preached, we live in a world that tends to define success by what we can see and grab hold of. Money, comfort, recognition, and a sense of security. It's all about what looks good right now, not necessarily what lasts. But faith calls us to see differently, to value what's unseen, to trust God's timing, and to live for something bigger than temporary wins. Just like Abraham, who followed God into the unknown, our true success isn't measured by what we accumulate, but by how we trust, obey, and become more Christ-like. The world may reward the visible, but God rewards the faithful. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 instructs us to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Abraham's faith wasn't anchored in the temporary. It was grounded in the eternal promises of God. As Hebrews 11, 13 and the Negro Spiritual puts it, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We're just passing through this world. We are aliens and strangers. We can enjoy God's blessings here, and we do enjoy God's blessings here. But we don't live as if this life is all there is, do we? Our citizenship is in heaven, as Paul put it in Philippians 3:20. Just like Abraham, we should hold earthly things loosely. Abraham was willing to give up everything, even Isaac, his son, because his hope was in God, not in the gifts, not even the gift of a son that he dearly wanted. We too must hold tightly to God and to what he's given us, and hold everything else loosely, knowing that our true inheritance is eternal. We're also to endure trials with hope. When life doesn't go as planned, when promises seem delayed, or when the path seems uncertain, remember Abraham, who waited 25 years for Isaac and still trusted, and then was willing to let go of Isaac, to give him up. Faith means believing that what God has spoken, he will do, even if the fulfillment comes beyond our lifetime. Abraham's faith shaped generations after him. It's shaping our generation now. And in the same way, living by faith today impacts those around us, but it also leaves a legacy that echoes into eternity. Your obedience today might not make the headlines, but it could very well plant seeds that grow. Seeds that grow into something beautiful long after you're long gone. You may never see the full impact, but God does. Sometimes the most lasting legacies are built quietly through faithfulness. At the end of the day, we all have to ask ourselves the question, are we building our lives on things that won't last, like success, status, or stuff? Or on what's eternal? Because only one foundation will still be standing, when everything else fades away. Don't settle for short-term comfort at the expense of eternal purpose. Like Abraham, we are to lift our eyes and walk by faith, knowing that God's promises are bigger. They are bigger than our present circumstances, and that the best is yet to come. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Faith begins with obedience. Faith grows through testing. And faith doesn't end. It leads to the ultimate promise. As we close this morning, here's the challenge before each of us. Abraham's faith wasn't convenient, shallow, or short-lived. It was bold, it was enduring, and it was anchored in eternity. He followed God not because the road was easy, but because he trusted the one who had called him, believing that God would fulfill every word he'd spoken. His journey began with a simple, courageous yes. He was refined through seasons of testing and pointed toward promises far greater than what he could see. But Abraham's story isn't just ancient history. It's a model for us today. That same kind of faith is not only possible, it's actually what we're called to. Whether you're just starting your walk with God, wrestling through a test that feels overwhelming, or holding on in faith as you wait for a promise yet to be fulfilled. Know this morning, God is still writing your story. God is still writing your story. You may not be able to see the full picture. We very rarely do. But he does. God sees the full picture. He knows how it's going to end. It's in moments of challenge, uncertainty, and suffering that faith is put to the test. Not to destroy it, but to reveal its depth and its strength. Just as gold, silver is refined by fire, so faith is purified and proven through trials. These seasons expose whether our trust in God is rooted in comfort or in his unchanging character. When everything else is stripped away, genuine faith clings to God, believing his promises, even when we can't see yet their fulfillment. That's when faith moves from theory to reality, from something we talk about to something we truly live. As Hebrews 12, verse 2 reminds us, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he doesn't waste a single step. Every act of obedience, every tear cried in the quiet, every whispered prayer of hope, it all has purpose. God honors every moment of perseverance. He sees every sacrifice. He cherishes your faithfulness. So take heart. Even in the waiting, God is working. Even through challenges, he is shaping your character and preparing the promise. Keep walking with confidence, even when the path is long. Keep trusting, knowing that God is faithful, even when the way is unclear. And keep believing, because what lies ahead is greater than anything that's behind you. Faith is not defined by today's trials. It's anchored in God's eternal promise, life forever with him, a place where every test is redeemed, every tear is wiped away, and every promise fulfilled. And one day, when your race is complete, you'll echo the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And you know what? You will receive the crown of righteousness that's prepared for each one of us who eagerly await his return. That is the reward of a life lived by faith. So press on, not because it's easy, but because your destination is certain and it's glorious. But one final thing. Abraham's journey began with a simple yes. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never said yes to the Lord. You've never begun that walk of faith. Why not take that first step today? Why not say yes to God this morning? If you'd like to talk more about it, please come and see me afterwards or speak to someone you know and trust. We'd love to pray with you as you begin this important journey of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you that not a single moment in our journey is wasted, that every step, every struggle, every act of obedience is seen and used by you, that it's used for our good and for your glory. Lord, in those moments of waiting, in the hidden moments of endurance, remind us that you are near. Help us to trust you. Trust that you are always working, always shaping, always preparing us for what you've promised. Strengthen our hearts, Father. Help us to keep walking even when the road is long. Anchor our faith, not in what we see, but in who you are. The faithful God, the loving God, good God, an unchanging God. Lord, I want to pray for those who are feeling weary today. Pray you refresh them. For those who are doubting, speak peace into their lives, Lord. For those just beginning the journey of faith, draw near to them. Draw near with your love and courage. And for anyone else, anyone here this morning that's ready to say yes to you for the first time, give them boldness, Lord, to take that first step and begin this life-changing walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. As we leave here, may we walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. May we live with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who endured the cross and now reigns victorious. May we press on, not because it's easy, but because our hope is secure. And our reward is eternal. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.